You're listening to Vatican Radio. Pope Francis said on Thursday that Catholics and Methodists have much to learn from one another as they work together in loving service to the world. His words came in an audience with leaders of the World Methodist Council, the Methodist Council of Europe and the Methodist Church in Britain, who are here for the opening of a new ecumenical centre in Rome.
Cari fratelli e sorelle.
If we cannot as yet think alike in all things, at least we may love alike. Those words were written by John Wesley, one of the founders of the Methodist movement, in his letter to a Roman Catholic in the mid-18th century. Wesley also stressed that Catholics and Methodists are called to help each other in whatever leads to the kingdom. In his meeting with the global Methodist leadership, Pope Francis said it's true we do not as yet think alike in all things, noting that especially on issues of ordained ministry and ethics, much work remains to be done.
Tuttavia, nessuna di queste differenze.
But he stressed none of these differences constitute such an obstacle as to prevent us from loving in the same way and offering a common witness to the world. 50 years since a joint Catholic-Methodist dialogue commission began its work, its members are preparing to publish a new document on the call to holiness, an area where the Pope said members of the two churches have much to learn from one another.
Dobbiamo fare il possibile.
We must both do what we can, he said, to ensure that members of our respective congregations meet together and encourage each other. Even where differences remain, he added, these can and must become the impetus for further reflection and dialogue. Welcoming the opening of the new Methodist Ecumenical Office in Rome, the Pope said it's a sign of growing closeness and of our shared desire to overcome all that stands in the way of our full communion.
The theologians, if I may say so, have done a wonderful job in clearing the way for us to walk together.
Reverend Robert Gribben is a member of the Uniting Church of Australia and chair of the World Methodist Council's Committee on Ecumenical Relationships. At this important moment in the life of the global community, he shared some thoughts on the importance of working for Christian unity and the significance for Methodists of this Jubilee Year of Mercy. You're here to inaugurate the Methodist Ecumenical Office in Rome, to give it its correct title, as well as marking 60 years of the English-speaking Methodist ministry here in the city. How much of a priority would you say is this ecumenical work at global level?
Well, I think it's absolutely vital because to go back to a prayer of Jesus recorded in John 17, he prayed that those who followed him in the future would be one in order that the world might believe. The connection between Christian unity and Christian evangelism goes right back to the Lord himself. And I don't think that has changed in the slightest. And indeed, His Holiness the Pope has remarked recently that our mission is affected by our division. And in reverse, of course, our mission could be enhanced by Christian unity being one of the clear facts about the Christian Church.
And yet, how seriously is this taken, do you think, at grassroots level in Methodist communities around the world?
It does vary. And it varies because of our culture and because of our histories, and particularly the history of the churches in a particular place. For instance, where I'm very aware in terms of directing the work of our dialogues for the Methodist Council, that in Latin America, in some parts of Africa, in some parts of Britain, the word ecumenism suggests some sort of amalgamation at the lowest level of doctrinal belief or some sort of mechanical takeover of church and use of power.
In other words, there's a lot of suspicion around this work still.
There is. So, I mean, even in the use of the word ecumenism, in my own work, I tend really to talk much more about the call to Christian unity, because I don't think it is some sort of a manifesto. I think the fact that it is sometimes vigorously opposed suggests that it is actually quite important. And one of the organisations that the World Methodist Council and the Catholic Church are both heavily involved in is a fairly new body called the Global Christian Forum, which is no more or less than a forum. It's not another great institution. It creates places where Christians from different traditions can meet together in a safe place, in a way where they are not going to be critical of each other, but which will they'll seek what is in common with them. And in that context, evangelical churches of many other titles and Pentecostal churches have increasingly found themselves at home alongside Catholic bishops, members of the Orthodox Church and of the World Council of Churches Protestant members. And I think there's a real breakthrough going on, a reassessment of what it means to pursue Christian unity together.
Do you think this kind of forum, this safe space, as you call it, is becoming increasingly more important, perhaps, even than the theological dialogues that you've been involved in for a long time?
I wouldn't make one more important than the other. I think people are on a different part of the road to Christian unity all the time and moving at different paces, so they all need to be encouraged. But certainly in the Global Christian Forum, we began with the question of simple relationship and trust. And from that followed, if we do believe in the same Christ, then what can we do in the name of the same Christ? So diaconal action and cooperation already has worked out in the last 17 years or so of the forum's existence in places where it's most unexpected. In Latin America, to have Catholics and Pentecostals working closely together for the sake of the poor is, you know, would not have been dreamed of some years ago.
And yet it was something that Pope Francis was keen on encouraging during his time as Bishop of Buenos Aires.
Indeed he was, and in many other ways he gave us all a lead. But the forum is already saying, can we now be brave enough to tackle some of the doctrinal differences between them? Do we really believe what we each say the others believe? We all caricature the other and say, well, you know, we're different from them and they have another funny belief. When we sit down and ask the question, what do you really believe? Our whole relationship can be recast.
If we look at the official dialogue, Methodists were among the first Christian churches, weren't they, to respond to the Catholic Church following the Second Vatican Council. It's one of the oldest dialogues, and yet we hear very little about it, about either progress or problems, compared to, for example, some of the other dialogues.
Well, it might be a question for the media, you know. Look, it's very difficult because the dialogues are a theological exchange. Part of their importance is that they are precise about analysing the differences between us, studying the scriptures together, opening up how the historic differences have come about. And that is not of intense interest to everybody, particularly at the ground level. And yet it does affect, for instance, marriage between two Christians of different traditions. There's great progress on that and other issues. There are walls that have been dismantled. There are still many walls that are very, very firm. And that's what the point of the theological dialogue is.
You signed up, didn't you? The World Methodist Council signed up to the Lutheran-Catholic Joint Declaration on the Doctrine of Justification. That was a huge step forward, a very visible step forward. What do you see as the most difficult areas now, the biggest obstacles, if you like, on the path to unity?
You know, I think it comes down to the practical level. I think the theologians, if I may say so, have done a wonderful job in clearing the way for us to walk together. I love the way in which the Pope acknowledges areas of difficulty which come up before him and then says, well, those are matters we should leave to the theologians. Well, actually, the theologians have done a tremendous amount of work on which the local churches could act. One of the main obstacles is people's inability to move. Maybe if it's their inability to believe that such good things have actually happened. And so getting the local structures to change, getting everybody into the same way of thinking is an enormous challenge. And especially in a world where Christian faith, indeed faith in general, is under general attack, we tend to be defensive. We tend to say, well, let's hang on to what we know, the familiarity of our particular church and tradition and way of worshipping God. So I understand why there may be some hesitation about this. But actually, until we step out onto that road together, we will not realise, you know, how clear of stones it is.
You have said that the call of Pope Francis to celebrate this Jubilee Year of Mercy resonates particularly within the Methodist community as well, doesn't it? In what way would you say that it's particularly important in this search for unity, in this search for walking closer together?
Mercy is an absolutely central gospel aspect, and actually it features regularly in the hymns of Charles Wesley. "Tis mercy all" is one of our favourite hymns. And as we are dealing with the sinfulness of human beings and the way in which we have in fact let our Saviour down, the cry for mercy is the first step back to reconciliation and then new life. So there could hardly be, apart perhaps from the word love, a more important word in all Christian doctrine and practice.
You have recently been focusing, the past 5 years have been focused on the call to holiness, haven't they? That's the subject of the most recent report that you've produced. How has this joint exploration, if you like, helped to bring you closer together?
Well, we await the report with interest. I do happen to know it's been signed off by the dialogue itself, and it'll be presented to the World Methodist Council first in this September, and at the same time sent through into the appropriate Vatican authorities. Arriving at this point was very special for us because there could hardly be a more characteristic word out of the Wesleyan background than the call to holiness, both personal holiness and what Wesley called social holiness, that is the holiness that affects the life and the ethics and morality of communities. In terms of personal holiness, of course, suddenly we find ourselves talking together about the saints, including the saints of 1600 years who belong to us all. Not just saints we've made because we've had battles together and we've lost Christian lives, for which we need to have our memories healed. Again, the ministry of the last three popes has been a singular step towards the healing of the memories between the churches. In fact, I think that that matter is largely resolved, if only, of course, at the grassroots people realise. One of the reasons why we particularly respond to the ministry of Pope Francis is, I think, that he is presenting the Christian faith in a way in which the most simple people can understand. Indeed, the most critical people can understand. And I'm sure that that's going to enhance all the relationship between the churches and the churches and the wider world.